This conference will now be recorded.
Pretty good. So welcome everyone. Any new guests or anybody in the conference room that we need to introduce, Kevin?
Can you repeat that, Tony? You cut out there.
Anyone that needs introduction?
You do have one board member here, Bob Aronson.
And in the room, we have Paul, Alex, Mike, and Bob. I think Sharon is on the line as well.
Great. So let's get the board meeting started. I'll call this meeting to order, and thank you all for being here. I'll get going with the agenda. I am actually lucky right now that I can't find it, but give me... Alex, what's the first item so we can get started?
And Tony, your audio is pretty weak. I don't know if you can put some headphones in or something, but I mean, we can hear you, but just barely.
Okay, let me see if I can do something about that. Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
So the first item, Tony, is the approval of the minutes from May 19th.
Okay, good. Are there any comments on it?
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
A motion has been made. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay, I do.
All right, the next item is my report. Do you want me to just go right into that?
Yeah, please do, Kevin. I'm having difficulty here finding the agenda.
Okay. I'll start off with the passenger numbers. As you know, it's not a lot of sense for us to compare 21 to 20. So the comparisons that I'm making on these passenger numbers will be fiscal year or calendar year 21 versus calendar year 19, right? So we want to compare where we're at today versus pre-pandemic levels. So for the month of April, Bradley was down 41.5%. Logan Airport was down 60%. And Manchester was down 56%. Providence, that's the last month they've reported for, they were down 42.4%. So again, we continue to perform better than most of the other New England airports that we track ourselves. In May, we were down 34.1%. Logan was down 55%. Manchester was down 50%. Unfortunately, Providence did not report. So when you look at that on a year-to-date basis, we're down 50.8% as compared to the pre-pandemic levels. Logan is down 65.2%, and Manchester is down 63.6%. So as we continue, though, to progress through the year, we're starting to see a good level of recovery. After I go over the cargo numbers, I'll give you kind of the outlook, what the future holds based on some of the metrics that we track here at the airport. For cargo, month of April, we were up 7.8%. Logan was down 8%. Manchester was up 12%, and Providence was up 66.6%. The reason why Providence had such a big leap is they are getting a little bit of recovery after Amazon left with some of the other carriers that there. So that 66% is on a very small base. When you look at the month of May, we were up about 1%. Logan was down about 17.5%. And Manchester was down 2.5%. So once again, year to date, we're outperforming the other airports that we track ourselves against. We're up 15.2%. Logan is down 14.2%, and Manchester's up 9%. So again, relatively good performance considering where we continue to be at in terms of the pandemic. On the service development front, as you know, we announced Breeze service that they started Charleston service on May 27th. They will be starting three additional routes Columbus, Norfolk, and Pittsburgh. All three cities will begin on July 29th. So nice additions to the nonstop route network that we're trying to develop.
And Kevin, I'll just note a couple of colleagues of mine have taken that Breeze flight to Charleston and said it's wonderful. So that's good.
Excellent. I'll pass that on to them.
Yep.
But we do continue to talk to all of the carriers here about restoring frequencies. We do have most of our nonstop destinations that we had pre-pandemic have been restored. There are still a few that have not returned. Raleigh-Durham, Cincinnati, and Cleveland, for example. But the other destinations have been restored. Now it's a matter of getting the airlines to restore frequencies. But as I said earlier, we do track different metrics here, looking to the future where we're going to end up. And if you look at the departing seats that are scheduled from Bradley, in August for the month, we have 308,000 departing seats are scheduled. That compares pretty favorably to August 19th. We had 341,000 seats. So we're still down about 9.6% in terms of seats as we look forward. But when you compare that to all medium hub airports in the country, in the aggregate, those medium hubs are down about 12.8% when you look at the departing seats for August. All large hub airports are down 17.8%. And if you combine all airports, you know, small, medium, and large hub, they're down 15.1. So the fact that our departing seats are going to be at 9.6, it compares very favorably to what's happening in the rest of the country. If you look specifically at the airports we track ourselves against in August, keep in mind, we're down 9.6%. Logan is down 35.5%. LaGuardia is down 48.5%. Providence is down 30.4%. Manchester is down 36%. And Albany is down 19.8%. So again, even though 9.6 is still a healthy number to be down, it tracks very well in comparison to the airports that we compare ourselves against. If you look at it from a daily departure standpoint, in the month of July, we have 69 daily departures. In August, that jumps to 72. And in September, that jumps to 75. So that recovery continues as we continue to roll out. And then the last stat, I'll just compare, you know, in terms, again, those departure seats. If you look at our, you know, where we were down in May, we were down 42.1%. June, it dropped to 26.1%. July, 15.4%. August, as I said before, it's 9.6%. And when you project out to September, it goes to 7.9%. So if we can continue on that track, hopefully by the end of the year, we're essentially back to where we were in terms of departing seats here at the airport. It's interesting, you know, because we also track, it's one thing to get the seats, but are we filling them? If you look at what the average load factor was in May, it was 92.6%, which is extremely high. Typically, when an airline has a route where they have a 90% load factor, that means they're leaving people behind and they have to add an additional frequency. So I do think all of these metrics bode very well for the future. So I don't know if there are any questions on any of that. I know that was a lot of information, a lot of numbers.
Kevin, one question. How is TSA doing keeping up with this?
TSA? Was that the question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We feel pretty fortunate with the staffing that TSA is providing here. You know, we are getting back during peak periods where we'll have a wait time, in some cases up to 20 minutes. We try to always keep it under 20 minutes, and most of the day, it's well under 10 minutes. But one of the things we did to be proactive, we have committed to the TSA that if they run into staffing issues, we will supplement their staff by putting people in the non-certified positions, meaning instead of having a TSA officer load baggage screening devices, we'll supply people to do that so they can free up that body to work the security checkpoint. So it is something that we're monitoring. We know a number of airports across the country are running into problems with that. TSA is working as quickly as they can to try to hire folks and get the workforce back up to where it was.
Are we doing the two checkpoints these days or just one?
We are, but you know, as you know, the secondary checkpoint has very limited hours at this point. From time to time, we will operate both.
Okay.
Kevin, this is Mike. I know you're keeping an eye on it closely, but what can you tell us about international and what we might see in the near future?
Yeah, some good news on the Canadian service. It was just announced yesterday that it appears the border restrictions will be lifted. I believe it's on August 9th. So we are hopeful that Aer Lingus will, not Aer Lingus, Air Canada will start service shortly thereafter. They have stayed in touch with us throughout the pandemic, still very much want to come back to Bradley. So now it's a matter of where we fit in the queue in terms of a service restart by them. For example, they just restarted service in Tampa, but on Saturdays only. So it's probably going to be a while before they get to all of the airports that they want to resume service at. Hopefully we can work to push ourselves to the front of the list. On Aer Lingus, still a number of restrictions in place in terms of transatlantic travel. As you know, there's a lot of discussion about vaccine passports potentially being required to resume a lot of that international travel, so we're monitoring that closely. Aer Lingus, again, we've stayed in touch with them throughout the pandemic. They're still committed to the airport, although they have not yet stipulated a restart date. I have been talking to them about the potential of restarting in spring of 22. I think that's the most likely scenario, but we're continuing to monitor what's happening over in Europe in terms of some of the spikes with the COVID cases that are starting to reemerge at this point.
Any other questions of Kevin? Great. Well, thank you, Kevin. Let's go on to the next item.
I did have a couple of other items.
Oh, sorry.
I had a couple of other items real quick that I'll go through. Just wanted to point out that the Escape Lounge here has reopened. That's a good sign for us. They're open 7 days a week now between 6 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon. They do plan to expand those hours. They are having difficulty hiring staff, and it's become exacerbated because the food service in the lounge now all has to be table service, right? There's no longer a buffet type service in there. So they need even more staff than they had previously. So they're working on that. Parking here at the airport continues to rebound. We had a number of days in June where the garage was completely full. Lots 1, 2, and 4 were completely full, forcing us to open lot 3. So we're very pleased the way the parking is starting to rebound here. And as you know, standard parking is no longer the beneficiary of parking activity. The airport now is, because we did buy out their remaining rights during the pandemic when they were struggling with some of the traffic levels. A couple of other things. We did launch the Bradley Market. That is an online food ordering service. When you come into the terminal, you can go to bdlmarket.com. Find out which restaurants are participating and take a look at their menu. You can order food right online and then get updates during that on that website as to when the food will be ready for pickup. This is an effort where we're trying to progress towards ultimately having food delivered to people's locations at the gates. This has worked well for us because it does reduce various touch points here in the terminal if people are ordering online. We also launched the.
Add a question onto that comment.
Sure.
I think that's a great idea, but I don't know that there are still the opportunity to get kind of grab and go meals, sandwiches as you're going through the terminal. Is there anything we can do to support that? Because I know people who have remarked to me, you know, I was in a hurry, trying to grab something to get on before I got on the flight. And I think they used to have that, but I don't think it exists at the moment.
Yeah, we do have a couple of locations where you can, you know, take advantage of that. the main restaurants don't offer it. For example, Black Bear doesn't offer something like that. But our Hudson, our Paradise locations offer that.
Now,
a lot of people, a lot of people don't think to look in those locations for that, and we probably need to do a better job highlighting the availability at those spots. Just continuing on, we operated a vaccine clinic here. We partnered with the Department of Public Health and Griffin Health to open the clinic for a three-week period. We closed it after the July 4th travel period. Unfortunately, there wasn't a whole lot of demand for the service. We're still providing the COVID testing here at the airport. Genesis continues to be in the bag claim area. However, testing has dropped down to around 20 tests per day. That's down from a peak of 500 a day during the Christmas travel period. So I suspect at some point we're going to have to be talking to them about wrapping up that service as well. And I did want to point out to folks that the mask requirement here at the airport is still alive and well. A lot of people are confused by that. Even though the CDC has dropped, you know, mask wearing at most public locations, at transportation venues, it's still required. It's required under federal regulation. That federal regulation is in place until until September 13th. We are hearing rumors that it may be discontinued earlier, but we don't have anything definitive. So it is something that we continue to stress to folks, because a lot of these issues that are occurring, you know, with unruly passengers, they're all centered around the mask wearing, and there seems to be a lack of communication or understanding on people's parts that that's required. Just a couple of things at the GA airports, Groton New London, the terminal ramp reconstruction project is scheduled to start the first week of August. We do expect that that'll be completed by the end of the year. Also at Groton, we're working with Survival Systems for an expansion of their leased area and their facilities. They want to expand there to accommodate training for the wind power industry. So that's a good sign for the airport. At Danielson, as you know, we've had a $2 million project underway to rehab the runway and taxiway areas and the main tie-down areas at the airport. I'm pleased to say that the runway reopened on July 1st and that we're expecting the taxiway and the main tie-down areas to be open before the end of the month. And at Hartford Brainerd, you may be aware there is a Hartford City Council resolution out there calling for the closure of Hartford Brainerd Airport. That's being considered by the City Council's Planning Committee. They're actually going to be holding a public hearing on July 28th. I do plan to attend the hearing to explain the difficulty of closing an airport. I think that's not very well understood by the city, that you do have to pay back the federal grants. At this time, there's about $2 million outstanding in FAA grants. You also have to absorb the costs of any litigation from existing tenants that may challenge the closure for lost opportunity. We do have a number of tenants out there that have long-term leases. And then lastly, I'm not too sure the city is aware that whoever takes over that property would have to pay the CAA fair market value, and then we would be required under federal regulations to put that value back into the aviation system here in the state. So there's a lot that goes into it. I think there's a misunderstanding. I think the city believes the state owns the property. So it's a good opportunity for us to appear at this public hearing to kind of straighten out some of these inaccuracies as to how they're looking at this.
So will you actually testify?
Yes. Last item before I turn it over to Alex is in your packets, you have an audit planning communication letter. Plant Moran is planning to start the fiscal year 21 audit. We're going to be discussing this in a lot more detail with the audit committee, but I wanted the full board to be aware that that's going to be starting shortly. And as you said, lastly, I'd like to turn it over to Alex for a minute or two for him to just provide you with a quick legislative update as to where we ended up on some of the legislation this year.
All right, so I'll be Very brief, but I just wanted to bring everyone up to speed on where we left off last board meeting. So when it comes to the CAA proposals that we put forward, both the proposal relating to the Connecticut State Police MOU or contract and the meteorological evaluation tower marking provisions were incorporated into the DOT aircraft carrier bill and passed this year, so thank you for giving us a home on that. We also did a lot of work this session on the bills that we talked about last time related to quasi-public agencies. There was one relating to the Properties Review Board, and then two others that were targeted at contracting practices and a number of other governance issues and other matters in the quasi. All three of those bills died this year. So we did a lot of work with legislators to make sure that they were aware of the impacts of those. I'm sure that they will come back in one way, shape, or form next year, as they have for the past several years. So it's a moving target, but some good news there that at least for this year, we made it out alive. Two environment bills I just wanted to briefly note. One we talked about last time relating to PFAS. The Environment Committee this year made some pretty wide-ranging changes to how PFAS chemicals can be used in the state. We did work with the committee to make sure that they were taking into account the specific federal requirements that we have as airport operators and the particular situation that some of our tenants are in. So there are carve-outs and special provisions for private operators at airports and also for airport operators who have to deal with those FAA requirements and use PFAS-containing firefighting foams. Another one that was noteworthy that we dealt with the Environment Committee about was relating to stormwater authorities. This was a bill that allows municipalities across the state to create stormwater authorities, which can then levy fees on properties in the state. Generally speaking, it's tied to the amount of impervious surfaces that you have on your property. So as you can imagine, that would be a major impact to the airport. But we worked with the committee, and they were able to tailor the bill down so that a municipality can only levy these fees on a property to the extent that the property is utilizing the municipal stormwater system. Because the main thrust of what these authorities are supposed to do is raise funds that are then used for the maintenance and development of the municipal system. So to the extent that a property is not utilizing the system, which Bradley is not, and most of our GAs are not, it will limit our exposure. However, there are a portion of areas in two different GA airports where there could be some exposure there. So we'll have to monitor that as time goes on. The peer-to-peer car bill, this is the Turo, for all intents and purposes, bill, was passed requiring that Turo and any other peer-to-peer company enters into an agreement to operate here at Bradley. So that was some good news. Also worked for a small change to the Liquor Control Act. It came to our attention this year that the bill that we passed a couple of years ago relating to, it was particularly pertaining to the Escape Lounge, to give them an expanded hours of operation so that they could take advantage of the early morning rush, had inadvertently been reversed due to some other changes in the act. So we had that reinstated this session. The auditor's bill passed with two provisions relating to the airport authority. They are removing the separate audit that they have been doing for the Bradley Enterprise Fund reimbursements to DESP for the law enforcement services payments. And they're also moving our audits from an annual audit to a biennial audit. So we only have to do that every 2 years now. One bill relating to public employers, this is one that public employee unions were pushing very hard this year in response to the Janus ruling from a couple of years ago. This one was of note to us because it requires public employers to provide quite a bit of detail about their employees to the unions at prescribed times throughout the year. Our only concern was the fact that we have requirements TSA that we're working through with TSA right now to understand, would that put us in conflict with their regulations? So it's something that they have drawn a hard line on in the past, and we're trying to get a new interpretation from them just to make sure if that will or will not cause us a problem. And then the only other thing I want to mention was there was a bill out there to exempt all aircraft sales from the sales and use tax in the state. Currently, only aircraft 6,000 pounds or more are exempt from the sales and use tax, but that bill also died this year. And that's all I have, unless there are questions.
Good work. A lot accomplished this year, Alex. Thank you.
Hi, Tony. The next item on the agenda is a discussion item, whether or not you have anything to report on the tourism group that you're participating on.
Yes. Well, it's not the coalition, it's the council. But, David, you want to speak on this first, or do you want to say something?
Please go ahead. I'm happy to jump in after.
It's chaired by Steve Cohen, who is the chairman of the executive director of the Mystic Aquarium, and the Tourism Coalition, which is presently overseen by Steve Tagliatella and Frank Burns, have asked that legislation be passed, which it was, to add a member of the Tourism Coalition to the Tourism Council in Hartford. They have recommended David Quinn from Quinn and Harry to be their representative on the board. And that, I believe, goes to the governor at this point, and may have already done so. And we're waiting further action. That's about it.
Let me, if I may, just make a couple comments here. There's two big work streams, just bigger picture on the tourism front that are going on. But first and foremost, we have a job posting up for a new director of tourism. So our hope is to have that individual identified and on board, you know, in and around Labor Day. The search will end later this month. And then, you know, Glenn Danes and I will take the lead on bringing that person on board. And we do intend to kind of vet, you know, the final candidates with a small group of folks either in the industry and potentially a few legislators as well to get a lot of feedback there. So that's going to be really significant. We have shifted to make that an appointed position. That is not a classified or managerial position anymore. That will be an appointment of the governor. And we think that's the right thing given the visibility and accountability needed for that seat. Secondly, but equally important, there is a work stream going on right now at DDD for the approximately $23 million over the biennium that was allocated to statewide marketing. How is that money going to be spent? What mediums, what markets, what's the strategy going to be in terms of digital? So there's a straw man of a proposal working on. I mentioned this because the goal is to start to implement and operationalize the incremental spend to get tourism, marketing, really everything about Connecticut State, and to get that going, come this fall. So you will hear a lot more from that. Certainly, Tony's going to be taking that to the Tourism Council, and we're going to be socializing that with the governor and others. So those are the two big work streams I've mentioned, tourism related to tourism.
Very good. Thank you, David. Are we good with this?
Tony,
go ahead.
Before we move on to the next item, I was remiss. I probably should have introduced Michonne Donaldson. He's our newest board member. I believe this is his first meeting that he's participating in, so he's certainly a welcome addition to the group. I don't know, Michonne, if you want to just take a minute to introduce yourself and maybe talk a little bit about your background.
Sure, great. Thank you. Really appreciate that. So my name is Michonne Donaldson, newest member of the board here. Very pleased to join you all. I'm currently a senior vice president and senior managing director at a firm called Horizon Technology Finance. And we are investors in venture capital backed companies focused on the technology and life sciences space. Currently living in Farmington. I've been very active on a number of different boards around the area, and very excited to be a part of this new opportunity with you all.
Great. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. And Kevin, have you had a chance to sit down with Michonne to bring him up to speed on everything? that's going on?
Yes, we've had some extensive conversations at the time that Michonne was being confirmed, but I certainly look forward to the opportunity to have Michonne here at the airport so we can show him around and introduce him to folks.
Great. Well, thank you, and we look forward to working with you, Michonne.
Likewise. Great. Thank you.
So the next item on the agenda is the Human Resource and Governance Committee report. Who is providing that?
Thank you, Tony. There really is not much of a report. The committee held a meeting on the 2nd of June. We had some discussion and went into executive session to discuss one personnel matter. No action was taken as far as any recommendations to the board. So let me just ask Kevin, you know, whether there's anything else you think we should add to the report.
No, just we had a good conversation. Really, the majority of the conversation entailed employee compensation and succession planning. And again, as Bob pointed out, there's no specific action that's being directed to the board as a result of that.
So that's the report, Tony.
Very good. Thank you. And so it's now time to move into executive session. And Alex, can you do your magic there and prepare to?
Yep, I think we just need a motion first.
Okay, a motion is in order to go into executive session.
So moved.
Okay, further discussion, there be none, all in favor?
Aye. Okay, I'm going to ask all of the staff that are currently participating to stay as well.
Very good. Who are they, Kevin? Kevin, which staff?
This conference will now be recorded.
All right, we're all set.
Very good. So, we are now out of executive session and no action was taken while we were in executive session. Item number 7, consideration of an action upon approval of to increase the fiscal year 2019 capital program budget building improvements category. Do you want to explain, Kevin?
Yeah, quickly on this, Tony, we're asking the board to amend the 2019 capital improvement program budget in the building improvement category to increase it by $1.1 million. What we would like to do is complete the design and specs for what we're referring to as the vertical circulation project here in the terminal. Just quickly to remind you of what that is, we're taking a look at how we can increase the capacity of the terminal building here without really expanding significantly the footprint of the building. We're looking at things, for example, of having people exit the terminal through the concourses and down into the baggage claim, and then taking the central security checkpoint and converting that entire area into a single checkpoint, so utilizing all of the space so people would no longer exit the building in the center of the building. We believe that we can really extend the useful life of what we have here today and increase the capacity if we move forward with some of these circulation improvements. So the $1.1 million is to complete the design of that. We did suspend this project at the start of the pandemic because of financial concerns. We didn't know where the pandemic was going to go, but based on what we're seeing in terms of recovery, we feel confident in terms of moving forward with the project, as well as the need for the project. We also want to put ourselves in a good position on a project like this. If on a federal level there's an infrastructure package that's passed and they're looking for, so to speak, shovel-ready projects, we would like to have the design of this project completed. Very similar to what we're doing with the explosive detection system design. We're moving that forward as well to make sure that we have completed design sitting on the shelf should that money become available on a federal level. So the ask here is to increase that building improvement budget from the existing $4.887 million to $5,987,000.
comments, questions?
The only comment I'll make is that finding on our side, the highway and rail side, that they're so far showing that they're open to design build as well as to having your design shelf. Mm-hmm. So I only say it because if the opportunity comes along, it's a way to, you don't use the term shovel ready anymore. You use the term that we're ready to go with it.
Right.
So I just throw that out there that, you know, that we're doing the exact same thing. I'm trying to get as many projects designed, ready to go, so that right there we can meet the, if more money becomes available, that we can go and do it.
Yeah,
I would support that.
Thanks. Other thoughts? It seems like a good idea, so a motion is in order to approve the increase in the capital improvement program. Do I hear a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Further discussion? There have been none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. So item B, consideration of an action of approval to utilize aviation fuel tax revenues to subsidize Tweed New Haven Airport. So give us a little bit of the history. I know you and I talked about this, Kevin, so maybe fill the board in.
Right. As I think most members know, the fuel tax here in the state, under FAA regulations, the aviation fuel tax has to be used for the benefit of aviation in the state. We administer how that fuel tax is expended along with the approval of OPM. We do not go to OPM annually to get approval. We use a historical funding scenario that's been in place for many, many years here as to how that money is allocated. And there's essentially three uses of the money. $1.5 million of the collection goes to the operating deficit of Tweed. There's $2 million that's set aside for the capital development of any airport in the state, with the exception of Bradley. And then the remainder of the collection comes to the CAA for the operation of the five general aviation airports that we operate. Prior to the pandemic, if you went back to fiscal year 19, which was the last pre-pandemic year, that fuel tax collection brought in about $7.1 million, okay? If you look at where we're at today, fiscal year 21, through the first quarters, we've only collected just under $2 million. If you try to annualize that, you know, add the last quarter of fiscal year 20 to the first three quarters of 21, you know, you have a collection that's still a little bit over $2 million. So that's been an impact of the pandemic, the substantial reduction in flying here at Bradley. Bradley generates the lion's share of that fuel tax here in the state, and with the substantial reduction in activity, not buying fuel, so you don't have as much of a collection. At the beginning of the year, we made a decision that we were going to cut all of those three funding sources by 75%. That meant that in the case of Tweed, they would be given $375,000 versus $1.5 million. Up until Tweed embarked on the development program, if you looked at their annual budget, the $1.5 million subsidy represented about 50% of their budget. So to offer only $375,000, admittedly, it was a big cut to Tweed's budget. We did press Tweed to make reductions to their operating expenses, very similar to what we had to do here at Bradley. You know, varying levels of detail came back to us on that. But at the end of the day, Tweed is pushing for the full allocation that they believe is historical funding that was granted through the state. We have looked at state statutes. There is no statute that dictates Tweed gets $1.5 million. In the past, the legislature would carry $1.5 million in the state budget, but that was stopped, I believe, in fiscal year 2018, where it's now been transferred to the CAA to receive this collection and make decisions about how the money is allocated, again, with the concurrence of OPM. So one of the things that I put on the table, because Tweed does say that this is a bit of a crisis for them in terms of not getting the funding, and even though in my mind, the right thing to do is this equal split of those three funding sources, I have put on the table that we will send Tweed $1.5 million out of the $2 million that's been collected, and then cut that capital program that's available statewide, but also operate our GA airports in a deficit position by utilizing our reserves. And I throw that out for consideration with the condition that we would do that where they would get the full $1.5 million for last fiscal year, that, you know, they didn't receive it. And for this fiscal year, the understanding that I have with the executive director of the Tweed New Haven Airport Authority is that they will only take half of it going forward, and then the deed would stop. That's certainly subject to them moving forward with this deal with Avports, right? But I do think to get that recognition by Tweed that this is it in terms of funding going forward, and we can now utilize this funding for other development of airports in the state, in consideration that Tweed is now being developed by private sector interest, I think makes a lot of sense. So what the board is being asked to do is to essentially approve taking the vast majority of the fuel tax collection for this past fiscal year, send it to Tweed, and operate our GA airports in a deficit position. We do have sufficient reserves to be able to do that, to operate them for the full year. What we would most likely do, once Tweed is off of that subsidy, we would take that $1.5 million and restore any of the reserves that we depleted before we started to use that money for development at other airports here in the state. There is some question, when I originally spoke to Tony about this, I do believe we have the authority to do this on our own, because you are following the historical funding of Tweed. The only thing that's different is we're making a decision to operate our airports in a deficit position. But Tony, when I originally spoke to him, raised potential need to get the governor's office tied into the conversation, as well as the Office of Policy Management. For a number of reasons, I haven't been successful in getting them pinned down conversation on this, but I do think David might be able to add something to this. I think I've reached out to David and asked for his assistance in terms of making that connection. And while I don't think we've fully completed the circle, I think we have a little bit more information than we did yesterday. David, I don't know if you want to throw anything out.
Yeah, no. Thank you, Kevin. And Tony, you and I didn't have this beforehand, but I did speak with the OPM secretary before this call. I think in concept, from the administration's perspective, there's agreement in what Kevin put forth. I do think Melissa just wants to confirm Kevin and his team's statutory read that this agreement will not violate any existing law. So we just need to dot the I, and I committed to Kevin that we'll turn that around very quickly on the OPM side. So in short, we're good to go, but I think we just want to double check or triple check, if you will, which we'll do quickly, that this agreement is kosher.
So with that information, well, first of all, any board members have thoughts or questions on this?
Tony, how would this be memorialized?
I would, typically when we issue the $1.5 million, we have them sign off on an annual grant agreement. So we would incorporate that right into this agreement that covers this fiscal year and next fiscal year. And I think that's what David is referring to. The question appears to be from OPM, are we violating a statute by telling Tweed you'll no longer be funded? Now, our limited research of the statutes, we don't see anything in there that under law they're required to get $1.5 million. That $1.5 million was always carried as part of the state budget. Now that the FAA made the determination the aviation fuel tax can only be used for aviation purposes, that was dropped from the state budget. and it's been put in the hands of the CAA to administer. So that's why I do feel we're on safe ground, but what the secretary is asking for is time to research those statutes. Now, I have said we will not release the money until we have this understanding, because if we don't have that understanding, even if there was a statute, then we got to go back and we got to rethink, you know, whether or not we can send the full $1.5 million, right? Because it's all based upon ultimately freeing up the $1.5 million to replenish the reserves that we're going to have to use to operate our airports.
Yeah, so Kevin, I'm not sure you need a motion on this, but certainly if we can provide you a sense of direction, perhaps.
I do think you need to vote this. What I would suggest is that if the board concurs with the approach that I'm putting forward, that you vote to approve that subject to the OPM concurrence on this and the agreement by Tweed of executing, you know, this grant agreement that, you know, has this provision in it.
So subject to a signed agreement from Tweed and the approval of the commissioner, do I hear a motion to approve the
process? So moved.
Second.
Further discussion. Okay, there have been none. All in favor?
Aye.
So carried. So great. Anything else while we're here together that we just want to discuss briefly?
I'd like to ask, maybe you brought it up before, I came in a few minutes late. Anybody talking about all the people that are pulling over to the side of the road coming in here, and the fact that, you know, I was here at 2 a.m. for Southwest like 2 nights ago. It's just loaded all the way through.
Yeah, we've had a number of conversations among the staff, and we are trying to stay on top of the state police to enforce that. You know, as our law enforcement entity, we have to rely on them to chase. Some of them are very good about it, and as you can imagine, some aren't. But these are folks that, you know, for whatever reason, I don't understand why they're not utilizing the cell phone lot. Even if you didn't want to go into the cell phone lot, there's a number of businesses you can pull into off of Route 75.
Sure.
But it is becoming a problem that we are pressing a lot harder with the state.
Oh, it's a good problem from the standpoint that your garages are full, okay? We're getting more and more volume of traffic, and what used to be routine in terms of chasing them away has not returned yet.
Right.
And that's why, you know, I saw it, you know, 2 nights ago, and I saw it again just now coming to this meeting, and I'm like, hey, this is really getting a little bit crazy on this.
Yeah.
Do we feel the state police have the capacity to enforce?
Yeah, I mean, there's a patrol, you know, that's out there. Again, I'm not going to say that they have a ton of people here, but at the same time, you know, we're trying to balance the expense of the state police. I mean, during the pandemic, we actually dropped a position, which could have contributed to some of this. We have restored that position. We restored that about 2 months ago. So I think it's just a matter of us kind of pressing with the state police to.
So I've had to ask for additional state police assistance in some of the rail centers, and he just was approved for 250 positions, but it'll be a year before they're fully integrated in. But I would say that now is the time to at least, you know, raise the awareness that, you know, we have to start increasing controls because it's getting a little bit crazy out here.
But Kevin, did you have an opportunity to chat with David Campbell? From Advanced CT?
I have a call into him. He has not gotten back to me on that.
Advanced CT, just for the members' information, they're interested in exploring with the airport opportunities to improve our economic development activities. Not the states, excuse me, the states' economic development opportunities. Well, with no further to do, motion is in order to adjourn.
I'd like to move that we adjourn at this time.
Yes, Michael, who's going to second that important motion?
Second.
I'll second it.
Yeah. Whatever. Anyway, all in favor?
Aye.
Take care, everyone.
All right, thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you.